listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace from God, who comes to us this day and always in peace. Amen. I always love to go visit my brother, John, in Portland, Oregon.
I'm John.
I have a brother named John, too. That's great. I love that name. And John and I have a good time in Portland. I like to go there, and we like to go to breweries. We just go around to different breweries. We have a good time. And the last, I guess it was a couple years ago, I was out there visiting, and we were going around, and I was getting to meet some of his friends that come out and meet us. And we were just having a good time sitting at one of those Portland outdoor venues and a picnic table and everything. Everybody's talking, and I'm having a good time getting to know them. And then finally, someone asked me what I did. I hadn't really talked about what it is I do. And so his buddy, you know, I was kind of talking to him, and then he turned it around and said, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, you know, actually, I'm a Lutheran pastor." And everything stops. And he had this line that I'll never forget. I liked it a lot. He just goes like this, like he had just been duped. He said, "I did not see that coming." He's like, "Oh, man, I did not see that coming." So we always joke about that line. "I did not see that coming. That was a little switch. I didn't see that." I don't know what that says about me or him, but that's what he said. Jesus kind of throws us a curveball with our text here today. "I did not see that coming." Did you feel like that as I read this text? What would you do if you had someone working under you, canceling debts that were owed to you? Somebody working under you, cooking the books, overspending for their own personal gain? What would you do? What do you think Jesus would say about that? You'd fire them, right? And yet Jesus tells this story today, and it's kind of in line with the story that came just before this story at the end of chapter 16. Jesus tells a story today where a crooked manager gets commended for his shrewdness. "I did not see that coming." Same thing with the prodigal son, actually. That's the story just before this, where the reckless, selfish son gets a party thrown for him. Again, you could say the same thing. "I did not see that coming." Jesus flips everything again and again. In the Gospel of Luke, again and again, Jesus flips everything. He sucks us in. We're rooting for the owner to deal justly with this scoundrel, this sly fox in his office. Here it comes. And then Jesus flips everything on us. This is a curious story about wealth and poverty. How can you be trusted? How can you deal with heavenly things if you can't even deal with a little dirty money, with a little street ball? So some translate this. Just a little street ball is what's going on here. "You can't deal with that," Jesus says. "I did not see that coming." Jesus, for some reason, favors the poor, the dishonest, the outcast, but especially the poor in the Gospel of Luke. And this is just one more instance where mercy wins the day. Mercy today even over fairness, because what's happening here just doesn't seem fair. Mercy and shrewdness is being lifted up. So I was trying to think of a kind of modern day parable to match with this one. And we are here at the beginning of a new school year. And we have got a great big university right here in Fairfax, George Mason, right down the street. Just curious, how many are alums of George Mason University? Yeah. So tuition, pretty high right now. It is the largest, most diverse, and fastest growing university in Virginia, they say on their website. So I am thinking about college debt. And currently the president of GMU is Ann Holton. She's the former Secretary of Education for the state of Virginia, of course, and Tim Kaine's spouse. Interesting. She's not exactly the owner of this, of course, but let's just say some clever guy over in the business office at GMU is collecting, his job is to collect the student tuition. And he gets caught embezzling some of those funds. He's taken some of that tuition money for himself. Just to put some numbers around this, I did some sloppy numbers based on their website, on tuition, room, board, other expenses, and I got about $28,000, which I'm sure is a conservative estimate. Let's just say $28,000 to go to GMU for 1 year. So this Sly Fox over in the business office has taken some of that for himself. Financial aid gets catches up with him, and he gets, of course, canned. But they make a mistake, unlike most businesses, of not making him immediately collect his things and leave the building immediately. Before Ann Holton and the rest of the school can catch up with him, he starts forgiving student debt left and right. He gives one student 50% off tuition. Another one, he gives 20% off tuition on his way out the door. It's messed up, right? Well, in Jesus' story, he would be commended. He would be commended. Why? Because he acted shrewdly, Jesus says. Good for him. Good for him. He acted shrewdly and made friends with the poor. With the poor. With people that probably are going to have a really difficult time paying off those loans. Maybe those students will one day end up being wealthy, doctors or lawyers. Maybe they'll someday take him in, him and his family even. He didn't burn bridges at the end of his job with GMU. He built new ones. And so President Holton looks at that and says, you know what? Welcome. Good on you. Good thinking. That's our story for today. This story ought to have us scratching our heads and squirming in our seats and chuckling a little bit. What in the world is Jesus up to? Is Jesus saying that we should be dishonest in our business practices? That we should steal and lie and cheat? Sometimes maybe that's what we want to see. I think we all have that urge to cut corners, especially when it comes to money. And if a story Jesus tells here gives us license to do that, then all the better for us. It says it right here in the Bible. I don't think this is what Jesus is saying at all. And I don't believe Luke's first hearers would have thought that either. You see, Jesus was a master storyteller. He would always have people on the edge of their seats. You're kind of wondering, what's he going to do next? Well, how's he going to flip this? We've had a couple texts where Jesus does this, kind of draws us in and then says something really surprising. And here it is again. Jesus has people on the edge of their seats laughing, and they're catching the irony and the nuance in this story. If you walk away thinking that Jesus is telling us to be dishonest in business, to just keep on keeping on, that's the way the world works, then I think you're missing the point completely. Eugene Peterson, again, gives us help with the way that he translates this passage, and I have to share it with you again here today. He translates the key verses like this. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. Constantly alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right. Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival. To concentrate your attention on the bare essentials so that you will live, really live, not just complacently getting by on good behavior. That's how he translates verses 8 and 9 in our passage for today. Not just complacently getting by on good behavior. Jesus, friends, is saying two things here today. Be clever and take care of the poor. Do what you can with whatever you have. Use what you have. Use what you have left. Use the contacts or the connections that you have to make the world better. Don't just robotically go through the motions on the straight and narrow, under the radar. Take risks, Jesus is saying. Take risks. Build community. Forgive debts. Call people on their stuff and make friends with the poor. I don't know if you've noticed, but Jesus is obsessed with talking about wealth and poverty. Dave Cross, at our last council meeting, take turns doing devotions, and Dave led the last devotion, and he reminded us in that devotion that Jesus talks more about money than just about any other topic in the New Testament. Yet, it makes us uncomfortable to talk about money. Jesus talked about it all the time, and Jesus says to us today, you cannot serve God in wealth. Give it away. The poor are going to have to vouch for you one day in the great hereafter. So give it away. We have a bishop that likes to say it like this: the poor are going to have to write you a letter of recommendation. What will they say? What will they say about you at that great feast that is to come? How are we doing, friends, at taking care of one another, of taking care of the poor? If we're not squirming now, you squirming a little bit? I am. If you're not squirming now, we will be next week when we hear about the rich man and Lazarus. So the dishonest manager in this story forgives these massive amounts of debt that are owed to his former company. He forgives the olive farmer, it says 50%. It says, how much do you owe? 100 jugs. Okay, make it 50. 50%. Another one, 20%. Do you know how that slashing of debt would have affected those farmers' communities and those families in that time? Cultural anthropologists have studied this story, and they tell us that those farmers would have gone back home to their communities, having been forgiven of all that debt. They would have gone back home and thrown a huge party to celebrate that kind of debt reduction. Just like if college debt was cut in half. If your college debt was cut in half. So here's my numbers. If we go with $28,000 for 1 year, that's $112,000 for 4 years at GMU. So that's $56,000 if that debt was cut in half. $56,000. Just to give some numbers around it, that's worth celebrating, right? This is our God. A little bit crazy.
Sure.
A little bit bad with money. A little bit bad at business, I think. But rich in love and mercy and forgiveness. Some commentators interestingly say that this dishonest manager is Jesus. Some see that as Jesus, the one who comes in and cuts the debts, forgives our sin. The Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke, frankly, we've sanitized our translation because it's about finances. The Lord's Prayer, where we say, forgive us, we say our sins or our transgressions or our trespasses. Luke says, forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who owe us. Give forgiveness of debt a try again this week, friends. That's our challenge. Give forgiveness of debt a try again this week. Maybe it's not financial forgiveness that you're in a position to forgive. Maybe it is. But maybe it's something else. Maybe somebody owes you an apology and you're waiting for it. It would be perfectly appropriate for them to come to you with that apology that they really do owe you. But they're not coming forward with that, of course. Give forgiveness a try this week. Just let it go. Not by going up to them and telling them, you know, you owe me an apology, but I'm going to go ahead and let it go. That wouldn't be a way to do that. No, just let it go. Let it go in your heart. Forgive them. And get on with an attitude of gratitude, to use a cliche phrase, but I think a powerful one. From this attitude of feeling like somebody owes you something and they better show up with it, versus a stance, a posture of thanksgiving. This is what our God has done for us, after all. Slashed our debts, forgiven our sins, and commended us. Every single one of us has a burden of debt in some way, a burden of shame or guilt or sin or brokenness or bitterness. Call it whatever you want or whatever it is. Every one of us is carrying something. And today we are met with this good word here that is forgiven. That's our God. Bad at business, but rich in love, overflowing with faithfulness and fun. I did not see that coming. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now. And remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.